31st, 2014. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the hot suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. Please visit my website, which is spingola.com. There you will see a list of future and past guests with all of their relevant links. Please also visit SpingolaSpeaks.wordpress.com, a site that one of our dear listeners created and maintains. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@Spingola.com. Please remember, I do not access my regular email address during the program. Please join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the third hour when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Today is the 75th anniversary of the eve of the beginning of World War II, a watershed event, which we are still having the repercussions of to this very day. Anyway, it began on September 1st, 1939, when Germany finally responded to Polish aggression. My guest today is Dennis Wise, also known as Truth Will Out. He is the producer of the popular and wonderful series entitled Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. Dennis, welcome to the program.
Hi, Diana. You all right?
Yes, thank you. Welcome. I'm very happy to have you on the program.
Oh, it's great. As always, it's great to be here.
What time is it there? You're in a different part of the world.
Yeah, it's about turned 8 p.m.
Oh, okay. So it's not too bad.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's all right. Great. Well, you have just done a great job. The video is out in hard copy, and of course people can copy the video, the many parts of the video at your website and distribute it. And that website again is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. And I think it's very significant to have you on today.
Yeah, good to be here. Like I said, there's been one or two interesting things that's happened since we last spoke, so I'm looking forward to the next 2 hours. Great.
Okay, 3 hours, actually.
3 hours, yeah. Well, yeah, the third one was questions, yeah.
Yes. Alrighty, so tell us what has transpired since the last time that we talked, and tell me about the response that you've had from your wonderful production. Well, kind of get us up to date here.
Right, well, if I can put you up to date, we always felt that the DVD would break certain barriers and things, so it's proving. It's obviously difficult to get something like that for mainstream to notice, but if we feel if any documentary has that power, then this is the one. It's actually up on the IMDb site at the moment. It started off, it's got some wonderful comments on there, but it was attacked by a certain element, which brought the figure from 9 out of 10 down to 6 out of 10. But the comments far outweigh the actual figure anyway. There's been some really wonderful comments or reviews. Gaza has been a little bit of a problem for Israel when regarding Adolf Hitler, because obviously people are taking a lot more interest and going a lot more deeper now with the internet. They can see things that are going on today and relate back to the time of World War II. So that's always good. And there were some supporters of the Palestinians down in London, a lot of Muslim supporters, who obviously seen the, or admittedly, had seen the documentary, and were wearing T-shirts of Adolf Hitler. which was amazing, yeah, completely. It's been running on David Icke's forum for quite some time now, but lately, since it was actually headlined on his page just a few weeks back, which caused even more of a bit of an excitement on the page. It's probably one of the longest running threads in the forum, to be honest, which prompted David Icke to make a comment. Can I read it to you?
Please.
Yeah, it says, obviously there were some people on the site which felt that it wasn't the place for this particular documentary. And somebody had put it on his headline page, and he came back and said, "Hello all. Just for your information, I don't physically post the headlines every day. I oversee them, as in acting as editor, and send items for posting. This means I am especially busy or away that I don't necessarily see every last item every last single day. If I had seen this one, I would have questioned its content. I haven't seen the video." He goes on to say, "For the record, I think Hitler was an evil puppet of Rothschild's networks, and that the Nazis were among the sickest of people, created and controlled by the forces that are invariably behind the sickest of people, be it the Nazis, Rothschild Zionist manipulators, ISIS, ad infinitum," which must be Latin for something. "How clear could I have made this in book after book? All the best, David." So obviously, he hasn't seen the video at this particular point, but his conclusion of Hitler is part of the course over in the UK. So that's a little bit interesting. Like I said, that thread is probably one of the longest on his site at the moment. I had an interview a couple of weeks ago with Red Ice, which went down really well, and there's a lot of blogs took up the interview on all over the net, as soon as my interview went up on iTunes, the complete catalogue of radio interviews that they'd had for years up there was closed down.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
That says a lot. Yes.
Yeah. And finally, I'll save the best one to the end, Deanna, yeah?
Yes.
There's a video, I'll send you the link during the interview if you like, Alex Jones in a phone call was phoned up by a doctor who happened to mention the documentary I Don't Feel Like the Greatest Story Never Told, which kind of caught Mr. Jones on the back foot. And like I said, I'll send you the link and you'll be able to see his reaction.
Yes, that would be great.
So quite a fair bit has gone on, and like I said, there's a deafening silence from the enemy camp. And I believe that reason is because, I've said this before, I don't think they really want to draw attention to it and hoping that it goes away, because there's too many facts and figures in there what can't be excused or, you know, explained.
Sure.
But obviously if they attack it, then they're going to bring that attention to it. So at the moment it's just happily going along its merry way, rising like cream in a milk bottle.
So have you been personally attacked yourself, or are they just attacking the film? Which does get the most attention, both of you?
No, well, they're not really attacking the film, really. All that's ever really said is comments to dissuade people from actually viewing it.
Oh, yes, okay, sure.
They will never come out with that comment, "You watch, you decide," because they... for obvious reasons.
Sure.
But the fans attacking me now and again on YouTube. I get some trolls, and I lead them down a merry dance, and everyone enjoys herself for a short time, you know.
Certainly.
So, well, yeah.
That is interesting. I'm not surprised, because we have all been brainwashed by the alternative media, as well as the mainstream media, which I think oftentimes work together to believe a particular thing about World War II. And in as much as... Oh, we're at a break already. Okay, we're past a break. Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Thomas Wise. He is the producer of the greatest Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv, and you may watch the whole production there. And I would do it all at one time if you can. I mean, we're talking 6.5 to 7 hours. Pick a day that you would like to get totally immersed in the truth about World War II, and keep an open mind, because as I said, we have been totally brainwashed, and that is true no matter what war that we're talking about. After World War I, there was a great effort to collect all the records throughout Europe so that people would not know what happened, who started the war, why it was started. And Herbert Hoover had 1,500 agents, which he sent into Europe, and they collected all of this evidence and stashed it in a repository, never to be seen again. Alrighty. So, what else has been happening with you?
Well, you know, I feel blessed in itself. You know, I do get blessed every day from comments and people. You know, I've got to pay tribute to the people at the website as well, who are totally dedicated to getting this story out there, and a huge amount of work that they put in as well, because it is time consuming. And presently, I'm working on another documentary, so you know, I'm grateful for the people at thegreateststorynevertold.tv. So yeah, I've been working on this other documentary, which is a kind of a follow-up in one way. It's explaining the New World Order, what's called the New World Order, communism by the back door, which explains how it all started with Cecil Rhodes and the British down in South Africa. And it's going to come right up to date, explaining just why the position we are in today. And part two, which I finished the other week, proved beyond any doubt that the New World Order religion is Luciferian, and if it's successful, will be Luciferian. As I did a piece on Lucy's Trust, which have freely admitted their association with the UN and their adoration of Lucifer, the Fallen One.
Yes, I think that's quite true. A lot of people would have us believe that there is no such entity as Lucifer, no such entity as, no dark entities. See, this just is happening, and we really can't tell why. But I do believe that there is a two, you know, a right and a wrong, a black and a white.
Without a doubt. I mean, well, whether you believe it or not, or whether other people believe it, or even if I believe it or not, the fact is they believe it. This is the thing, and they follow the teachings of Helena Blavatsky and live by the rules of Aleister Crowley. So you know, and they freely admit it. So if anybody wants, I'm just working on part three, but up to press, it's up part two, and it's up on YouTube. On my channel, so they can, you know, it is kind of a follow-on from the defeat in 1945 and why we are in this position today, and the agenda, what they have.
Right. Well, this is amazing that you're doing all of these things, and you just get done with one thing and then you start into something else.
It's an ongoing battle. People have been, the truth's been hidden from people for too long, and I get some wonderful comments. One guy, for instance, wrote a comment saying that he watched part of the documentary and thought it was rubbish. Wasn't having none of it. But then, whenever he went to bed at night, he couldn't stop thinking about it. So eventually, went back to the documentary again, and eventually, it's completely now changed his outlook and completely changed his life. But he was one of these at first, he just wouldn't believe what he was seeing. Well, once he'd researched, hey.
Right. And that's the problem, is that too often people really don't do any research. They just accept an opinion and then embrace it as if it were their own. without really looking at both sides. And I think that's what you have done. You've looked at both sides, and then you have used critical thinking and just figured out, okay, let's see. How come this happened? How come Germany was so utterly destroyed? What was the purpose of that? And when you look at the whole history of how the United States got involved in bombing Germany to begin with, that, and you mentioned back door, and certainly we understand that, that the, Japanese and, the Japan and Germany had, an affiliation, and that, Roosevelt and Churchill, conjured up this attack, by the Japanese and, monitored the whole route, monitored them as they approached Pearl Harbor, knew all about it. And we're talking about Roosevelt, and he knew.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
A communist sympathizer.
Sure he was, as was his wife, good old Eleanor.
Yeah. Well, most of his governments as well. But the thing is that people have to understand that before Roosevelt, there was four presidents that wouldn't even touch the Soviet Union with a barrage pole, 10-foot barrage pole. It was in 1933 when Roosevelt actually accepted the Soviet Union. And that's when, to be honest, is a major step in the decline of America.
Right. Sure. Now, you have a blog that's associated with your The Greatest Story Never Told.tv, and I hope that people will visit your website and then just click on blog, because you've got your two parts here communism by the back door, and you also have Hitler's War, The Last Christian Crusade, and that is so true. And so it's just automatic, I think, that you would next look at communism and see how it became such a, well, so popular, so common in this country. And you also have a piece on, it's actually by Ry Dawson, about David Stein, or David Cole.
Uh-huh.
And he's been kind of he was kind of an item that people were talking about, because we were kind of familiar with his visit to Auschwitz, and he was, which everybody thought was wonderful, what he did. Everybody thought, yeah. Well, most people.
Well, he was perhaps of his Auschwitz documentary in the Adolf Hitler documentary itself, because I felt like that his work was really superb. And although I couldn't fit it all in, like, I put some key points in, which he made. And, you know, it makes people think even more, but time to get to that, I think it's around about 2022, something like that. He did great work, I felt.
Sure. Right. Yeah, I mentioned him in my third book, because he did have some very interesting things to say when Ernst Zundel interviewed him. Oh, we have a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, and we'll pick this up on the other side.
Okay.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dennis Wise. He is the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. Be certain to visit the website, watch the video, make copies of it, share it with your friends and family if they're still speaking with you. And that happens when you adopt views that are very unpopular. Sometimes friends and family just try to avoid you, which is very unfortunate. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, again, messages, they'll say, like, that I really love the documentary and I believe everything in it, and I try and show people, but they just won't listen, or they'll just associate me to a neo-Nazi or a skinhead. So, but at least at the very least, the documentary is being watched, being believed, and then it's being pushed, because you know it's only so long before people realise, you know, compare what's going on to today, and everything falls into place. All the dots that they couldn't join previously because of the story that the Allies put out there just didn't quite sit right, and this documentary just opens all them doors up. So, like I said, it's quietly. It's just a little bit like a shark. Every now and again, it surfaces, and then and then it goes back down. But like a virus, I don't think it's ever going to go away. So, because I was fortunate enough to get something like 23, 24 episodes up on YouTube before it was banned, and obviously I knew it was going to be banned at some point. So to get so many episodes up, and then have so many other websites actually putting up the videos themselves, then suddenly it was all over the web, all over the net. Before YouTube realised, and that from then on has grown and grown, and each passing few months, you know, something else arises, you know, such as, you know, the Alex Jones thing, or the Red Ice interviews and things like that. And it's just after people have watched it and been stunned by it, to be honest, you know.
Well, certainly, because it offers a lot of information that nobody's ever heard of before. And and as you say, if you compare it to today and what is going on today, you think, well, why is America bombing Iraq? What about Afghanistan? And why does America seem to have all of these military bases all over the world, and what is this all about? And how anybody could really assume or call a war a good war that takes the lives of some 50 million people is just kind of incredible to me. I just don't get that at all. In fact, I got an email this week from somebody who actually had a commission in the Marine Corps, and was part of that, part of the indoctrination, of course, included a history, the official version. And one of his questions was, well, why is it that Group A has to attack Group B? What is going on? And because of his views, he actually surrendered his commission. And I haven't written him back yet, but I was very touched by that email. Mm-hmm. Because people are starting to think, well, why is America killing all these people? What's in it for them? What's going on here?
Exactly, and all the time America itself is in decline, and the ordinary people in America, you know, are suffering with, you know, unemployment, etc. And yet there's always money to be found for these wars. And when you get a country or a state like Israel, what can attack a country which has no army and no navy for 6 weeks and kill official figures of maybe 2,000, but, you know, I'm never going to believe them figures, but kill innocent women and children and not be stopped. And then research to find out that, you know, it's been going on for 30 years anyway, it's got to make people stop and wonder. And it's not too difficult to work out the answer.
Exactly, if you just stop and think about it. But if you're just glued to the mainstream media and you get your talking points from them, which most everyone does that, then of course you're not going to be open-minded. You're going to be kind of in a daze, because that is the way that the TV is set up, that it's not interactive at all. You're just sort of being brainwashed. You're in a situation where the frequency is such that you just simply believe what you're saying.
Well, everything on TV is cold. I mean, you know, I mean, if you actually saw an explosion go off and limbs, etc., blown off somebody, you don't actually feel the pain. You don't even actually feel the power. It's cold, and so people get immune to it, very much like, you know, the video games, which are extremely violent, but the cold but you start to get immune to this thing. Well, and then there's always the aspects of, well, I'm not involved, so it doesn't really, I'm not really bothered about it. All that comes into it, all the compassion goes. So And they play on this, obviously, you know, because people are dumbed down there's a program in, I'm sure many UK viewers will know this one, there's a program over here called Coronation Street, which is a soap opera which has run for over 50 years. And believe me, Deanna, there's no program on this planet good enough to be run for over 50 years. It's just not possible. But they use that. For instance, at one time, presently they're pushing homosexuality, you know, you can sit down. I mean, it actually goes on about a past seven. I mean, I've watched it quite a while. But I know for a fact you can sit down at a past seven, have a bit of supper, early supper, and see two guys kissing on a settee. Ah. Yeah,
yes.
But we know because this is an agenda, and because it's been put into these soaps and it's been accepted by many people, the laws have been brought out to say that, you know, homosexuality is normal. But another instance I'll give you, like a while back, on another similar soap on BBC, believe it or not, on EastEnders a while back, they had a girl walk across the street and then headbutt another girl on the other side of the road. And I know for a fact that it wouldn't be soon that, you know, that'd be going on all around the country. And certainly the women are more violent these days than what the fellas are. And it's all this agenda of killing the ruggedness of the guy, and femininity coming more to the fore at this moment in time in Sweden, trying to knock that ruggedness out of children aged, you know, from 1 to 5 at school, because they feel that, there's more ways to being a man than just being macho. And they're trying to ban the word race in Sweden, so automatically if that does go through, then there is no race next year, it just doesn't exist. So little things like that, you know, which most people have no idea about. You know, these laws are being passed, etc., and it's changing the whole culture and the whole society. And we're even, most people even knowing it.
Indeed. And we are being programmed, absolutely. And TV has a large part in that. And you mentioned violent video games, which do desensitize people from, well, children play with play video games from, well, I don't know, when they're very young. And so, you know, pressing a button and seeing something blow up somewhere else, of course that's not going to affect you because you have been desensitized, not only by video games, but by TV. And,
well, children play these like 24/7 when they're on holiday. You know, you don't see children playing out on the street anymore, playing football or any kind of ball game. They're each isolated in each of their houses, just playing these violent, when I say violent, I'm talking violent, video games where heads are blown off and usually a Nazi.
Right.
So, you know, it's bound to have an effect over a period of time as they're growing up, which is exactly
sure
what the government want.
And, of course, this has always been the case, but with technology, it becomes even more pervasive. And children have always, well, kids, young boys have played war and they've played with toy guns and that kind of thing. But now this is so different with advanced technology. And in fact, the Department of Defense, has worked with, Hollywood in developing a lot of these war games in order to indoctrinate and train people to have a trigger finger so that when they can't find a job, when the economy is so bad and they can't find a job and the only option that they have is to go into the military, they will be all prepared
yeah,
to go and shoot up those bad guys wherever the
just
bad guys
just like they were doing for TV when they were a child.
Wow.
And of course, you touched on Hollywood. Of course, like, I mean, that's the Babylon of the world at the moment, anyway. And there's probably a lot worse going on over there than what you just suggested.
Sure. All righty, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Our guest today is Dennis Wise. He is the producer of the popular series entitled Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. Now, there's been quite a lot of rhetoric lately about the Holocaust. People are beginning to ask themselves the question, well, did that really happen? How could that have happened? How could they have gotten rid of that many people? Where would they have buried them? The science doesn't really add up to the propaganda that we've been told.
That's right. Yeah, I feel that's true as well. I think the sole reason for that is the internet. I think there's a lot of information now on the internet for people who want to look at both sides of the argument, and just the fact that, you know, there's laws set up in many countries, especially over in Europe, and even if you question the Holocaust, you know, you're looking at a prison sentence. That being the only historical event ever, you know, to be guided like as such, throws, you know, the doubts over something like that is obvious, you know.
Sure. I mean, if you can't even ask a question, well, that tells you a lot.
Well, David Cole was I was into an interview the other night, and he was talking about, you know, the trials about Ernst Sundell in Canada, and he said that the biggest mistake that the Canadians made was to actually give Ernst Sundell the freedom to defend himself.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. So the people who've been perpetrating the story of the Holocaust had now to go on under oath. And so instead of, you know, the usual things they were saying, it was now suddenly, oh, yes, well, I wrote that book because, well, I didn't actually see a gas chamber, but somebody told me that there were a gas chamber. And suddenly the whole thing was falling, collapsing around them.
Sure.
What they do in Germany, apparently, is that you don't really have a defense as such. The only thing you can plead is insanity or... plea bargain for a shorter sentence, and that is your only defense. You know, you cannot plead not guilty.
Wow.
And even here is in danger of being put under them same hate law rules by defending, you know, in such a way that if they don't think it's in their interests.
Right.
So
yes, definitely the Sundell trial was absolutely wonderful, and of course the large book that was produced, the transcript of the trial, and the fact that it allowed Fred Leuchter to go over and look at the science behind it. I mean,
well,
it was go ahead
about Fred. Obviously, within time, like the blackened his name as they usually do, and He lost all his work in America. But the basic facts of that one was, at that time, America was the only place on Earth what was using gas chambers as an execution means. And Fred was the only one who actually oversaw them and knew everything about them. And they were claiming that he weren't an expert because he didn't have a degree in this or a degree in that. But just by that simple fact, that he'd been doing that job for so many years in the country, only country what used it as a... means of killing a prisoner, then it made him the actual only person in the world with a right to actually comment on it. Because he once said, like he said, that of all the stories of the Holocaust, like, not one person has come up to him yet and told him the correct colour of a person that's been killed by gassing. Most people think it's pink or black, or I can't remember the colour he said there, but it certainly weren't the colour that these people who said they were eyewitnesses gave him. Now, you know, he is an expert in that way.
Right. Yes, indeed. Yes, they would turn pink because that happens when your organs start to fail. You're going to turn a bright pink, and certainly that didn't...
That's right, yeah, pink, yeah, because he said most people came and said, oh, yeah, I saw the bodies, they were black.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of a lot of things are covered up, even I cover that about the Holocaust with you know, the legends and the myths have all been disclaimed. You know, the shrunken heads and the soap stories and all that. But yet, you still see people quoting them.
Right. And Ernst Zundel didn't even really, I mean, all he did was reprint a short booklet by another gentleman and just disseminate it to people, to educators and people that he felt had some influence. And my goodness, they just went after him just immediately. Yeah. And so many things occurred. I mean, they firebombed his house, they burned his house. He had to wear a hard hat to the trial. This was just absolutely amazing. Now, one of the questions in the chat room, how many Canadians actually have ever heard of the Zundel trial or know anything about it? Well, I think that probably... Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. I don't think it's something that they're going to... make public once the trials were over, you know.
Sure.
They were never going to push them.
Sure. The same thing here. Of course, we're not going to hear about what's actually going on or what has gone on. And that's true to this day, we're going to just hear what the censored media would like us to hear. And, of course, we know it's been censored since 1927 with the Radio Act of 1927, which is also, by the way, it occurred when Herbert Hoover was the Secretary of Commerce. And so he's very good at hiding things and at censoring information. Sure. He was very good at that.
Yeah, like over here, many people believe that the BBC, like, you know, is the one true voice around the world. And what people don't realise is that the Queen, who actually is the head of the BBC, appoints. I think it's 12 or 13 appointees to actually run it for her. And so, just in that world alone, they're not going to allow anything which is going to be detrimental to their agenda. So, but people do fall for it because they see newsreaders come on with fancy lighting and the dressed and spoken, well spoken. It's just like, it must be true then, you know.
Sure.
Character breakdown.
Sure. It's interesting too that there were people in Britain that really favored, that looked at Hitler very favorably and thought that he was doing quite a nice job.
Yeah, in fact,
Churchill even made comments about that until he ran into some financial difficulties.
Yeah, he had some problems either. he had to succumb to them. But yeah, but there are also elements over here in the Spanish Civil War, for instance. There's at least 500 from Glasgow went over to fight on the communist side. So there's an element, you know, and in the East End of London, I think it's the East End anyway, when the marches of the fascists down there, you know, was stopped by there's a big Jewish contingent down there, and communism again was down there. So there is that element. Oswald Mosley, that's right, when he was trying to march through the streets because he was a big admirer of Hitler, and the police actually stopped the march because of all the fighting. So yeah, there was people, you know, that admired Hitler, and there's people who obviously were communists at heart, left wing.
Oh, sure. We had that here in this country also, where people were pretending to be big admirers and trying to hold a march in Skokie. Frank Collin did that. And, of course, we know that that he was a fraud. And so, but I mean that there were actually people in the royal family who really appreciated Hitler and... And when you look at some of the programs that he initiated, and you think, well, gosh, that makes good sense. That makes really good sense. And
wondered is the fact that because he turned the country around so quickly, it really, I've always wondered just how much money are these people really making? You know, for him to turn around a country which was on its knees and 100,000 committed suicides for a number of years before.
Sure.
They must be making a hell of a lot of money.
Yes. Alrighty, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour. So stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
He's entitled Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. People keep asking me about Wayne in Canada, and it has been just about a year since he's really updated his website. He is okay. I spoke with him probably maybe 3 months ago. He is okay. And he just had a situation where he felt it best to kind of back off a little bit. But he's alive and well. And anyway, we do miss him. We miss his work, and we miss him being a guest on the program. So, Wayne, if you're hearing this, hello, and we love you and hope that you come back. All righty.
Yeah, can I just say he does some really outstanding work, and I wish him all the best.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Well, Canada, as you mentioned, Canada is a place where you may get in trouble for speaking your mind or speaking the truth, and that was certainly something that that he thought of. He does have family and had some concerns, so anyway.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit like when people ask me why I actually did the documentary, and I think I've explained before that there was a point where I realized that I could do the documentary because of my video skills and because of the internet was available. And Wayne's probably got the same feelings, that it's nothing to do with, obviously, with any financial gain or anything like that. It's just the fact that, you know, your relatives suffered in that war, and you're hearing things, obviously lies about them. Like, you just want to put things right. And when I was 12 years old and I heard about the Blueberg massacre, when, even today, I've been quoted figures of only like 20,000 of some people who've been arguing with me, when actually, the troops actually what turned up to surrender was 300,000, and that's not counting the families they brought with them, the women and the children. And I lost relatives in that particular massacre. So when it came to a point where I felt that I had a decision to make, there wasn't really any decision to make, you know. And I'm sure when reading his work and listening to his work, and you know, he has relatives in Germany, etc., and felt the need, and he does a really, really great job.
He does, absolutely. In the last hour, we were talking about some of Hitler's policies. And one of the things that is going on in our country right now is this a lot of unwarranted, unnecessary mass immigration on our southern border. And of course, they're allowing, and it seems like it's a humane thing to do. But when we hear on the news that some of these people that are coming in are just toddlers, little kids, I'm thinking, oh, come on, please. I mean, if you were a mother, parent, would you allow your little kid to just take off and go with some stranger into another country? Well, of course you wouldn't. And so there's a lot of controversy about this. And I mentioned the other day to somebody, I said, well, we just need Hitler, which sounds to some people kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But he talked about immigration And his focus was to take care of the people who were living in his country, to take care of the German citizens, and that was his first obligation. And here we have a country, the United States, which is has shipped out a lot of its production. We have a lot of people without jobs. We have a lot of people who are working two and three jobs and who've lost their homes, who are living under bridges in their cars. What the heck are we doing allowing any immigrants at all into the country when we can't take care of the, when the government cannot or will not take care of the people that live here, who have lived here all their lives, whose families have lived here all their, you know, it's just ridiculous. We have no obligation to be the world's caretaker. And certainly we can look at some of Hitler's policies and think, wow, yeah, those really made sense.
It doesn't make sense because people don't realize that it is an agenda. You know, one of the communist rules is to break up the family. You know, another one is to bring feminism to the fore. Another one is to make homosexuality normal. Everything what is anti of what a society, you know, should be, is anti that society. Everything, you know, but getting rid of Christianity, for instance, and, you know, Christianity people might not, you know, believe, or at least it has certain morals and society can live by it. Whereas the Aleister Crowley's do what they wilt is like, you know, anything goes. That leads to a road of debauchery and very similar to what Berlin was before Hitler came to power and cleared that place out, and apparently they all moved over to Hollywood and have been happy there ever since. So, it is an agenda, and it's been used through various means, various medias, films, movies, music industry, anything with a mass audience. They're trying to put this multiculturalism, which is actually communism. One day America will wake up and realize, you know, they're living in a communist state.
Sure. Absolutely. And, it's just awful.
Which is a horrible thought. See the history of communism. If everybody ever sees a documentary on the history of communism, you'll know exactly what happens in that state.
Sure. And there have certainly been plenty of those around. And as you say, breaking up Christianity, or destabilizing it. I think too that the corporate churches have done much to bring about the communist agenda. That sounds kind of weird,
you know,
but
I mean, the Pope at the moment is actually proclaiming that exact same agenda. So yeah, I totally understand what you're saying about the churches over in America.
Right. And many of them are Zionist churches. And when you're talking about a corporate church, and these churches have been incorporated so that they are not allowed to speak about certain things over the pulpit, they are really, they're part of the problem. They're part of the corporate America. And, you know, they're collecting quite a lot of money and doing a lot of... they're supporting the Zionist movement, and I just cannot believe that anybody that could call themselves a Christian could favor what the Israelis are doing to people in Gaza, particularly little kids.
Well, they gain financially, people. I think it was Napoleon who said people are moved by two things. That's self-interest and fear. And certainly, you know, the financial gains of supporting Israel at this time in America outweigh a lot of morals what people have over there, especially that particular people you were talking about. But, you know, one day, you know, things will turn, as we've seen in history. It's hard to prove right now, but, you know, history does tend to repeat itself, and, you know, there's reasons why... The Jews have been kicked out of over 100 countries throughout history, and I'm quite sure the landlord was not always wrong.
Sure. Exactly. And it's very interesting that they don't look at themselves and say, now, why are we being kicked out? It's always seems to be the fault of the people who are ostracizing them.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly something that they should look at. All right, we are going to a real quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. This is Deanna. And we were speaking of corporate churches before the break. And I have a friend that was doing a little survey, and she decided to call a few churches in the neighborhood and to talk about war, because she's very anti-war. And so she got on the phone with a local church leader, and was trying to explain to him that war was very unchristlike and that it was wrong. And she got so upset. And I love her for doing this, but she just said exactly what was on her mind. She said, there is a special place in hell for people like you. And I've chuckled over that so often because, well, she just tells it like it is. But that was just so funny, and I bring that up to her every once in a while.
Yeah, it's true. Well, there's an element in the Adolf Hitler camp. What suggested he was into the occult himself. And I've always said actions speak louder than words. And there's a lot been said about Adolf Hitler after the war when he couldn't answer anything anyway. But, when you look at the things he did, like opened up the churches in the Ukraine, etc., and even received a Requiem Mass on the church hearing of his death, the little things just don't add up to him being in the occult, and all his enemies, such as all the Freemasons, which obviously Churchill and Roosevelt and Truman, Stalin was, all his enemies, our researcher are all into that kind of thing. So it's difficult, but some people do get annoyed at me when I say that Germany, Hitler was fighting for Christianity. But I honestly and truly believe they were.
Indeed, yes. And he did outlaw Freemasonry. Because he understood what was going on with Freemasonry in Germany, and it was very, very embedded there. Let's open the phone lines, and if you would like to call in, please make sure that your call is relevant to what we're talking about today. The telephone number is 800-313-9443, and let's take some questions. Alrighty, Jeff in Idaho.
Hi, Deanna. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Studying all the corporatism words on Clint's show, he's doing a very fabulous job. You did a good job of mentoring him. He's bringing out a lot of these corporate words that are super important to what you're talking about right now. And, in the Civil War, the word person came into use, in the after the Sine Die Congress, was the Executive Congress was put in place,
mm-hmm.
And that's how the blood money Civil War and the Federal Reserve breakdown of wanting to get rid of states' rights and bring in corporatism and mm-hmm. all the things you're saying, and then using the corporate power through warfare, for what you call total war, to basically bring down the last part of the South, which was the most Christian section of the United States at that point. Besides, after that, genociding the Indians for their property,
sure.
to get the Western expansion. But my comment was this: is you should try and you or your guests should try and trademark the word like an hologram, H-O-L-O, and the word cost, C-O-S-T. You might have a whole lot more hits, in the 20th century of real information. But I agree completely with your thesis on that. 501c3 churches are being forced into a scenario of being gagged. Now, there's a pastor in Oregon called Brother Gregory. You can Google
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
He has some documentation on how to get past this corporatism and to actually get out the real truth. But yeah, they're an organ of propaganda. And the recommendation I would do is try and look up Brother Gregory as a couple different publications that actually show how to not be a 501c3 and get back your power of the pulpit. And, you know, this war mentality is just to keep, you know, the dollar's getting ready to be done in. And all the stuff with Russia about, you know, the plane shoot down, well, that came with the BRICS Bank, you know, thing where they're getting the mini IMF starting in January. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if America doesn't wake up in the next 2 months, you know, because there's going to be an October surprise financially, you know, the Great Depression will seem like, you know, a picnic.
Yeah.
So, but I would ask your guests if, you know, if they could, if you could basically get out information that shows the propaganda system, like the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, basically are domestic terrorism fronts, you know?
Sure.
And until the American people are made aware of that, and not through this controlled speech and all this other stuff, you know, America's heading down the spiral that, what it is, the Communist International, Volumes 1, 2, and 3,
mm-hmm.
you know, once you get to the point where they've eliminated the death penalty, then the confiscation of guns occurs. So we're right at that tipping point.
Sure. And of course, that never happened in Germany. And we often hear, oh, yeah, Hitler came in, he started confiscating guns, and that is just not true.
But, right.
Well, thank you for your thoughts.
Have a good trip. Bye.
Bye. Any comments, Dennis?
Well, it's more of an American thing than the Civil War. You'll probably know more about that than I will. I don't like commenting on things that I've never researched, you know.
Sure. Yeah, well, it's definitely correct. The South was a colony of the North, and they had to get rid of the independent thinking, and mm-hmm. only 5% of the South ever actually practiced slavery. And to hear teachers or the educational system talk, you would think that everybody in the South owned slaves, and that is not the truth. That's not true.
I sometimes think that the Hollywood with Spielberg, when he brings out these films about slavery and what have you know, the agenda is more to stir up race riots to me, you know, rather
yeah.
than...
you know, yes, how true.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because obviously, you know, there's a lot of blacks in America like who will, obviously, they'll watch one of their films and will carry a grudge against the white person.
Sure. Oh, you're correct, absolutely. It's very interesting, too, that if you look at the treatment of the slaves, I mean the actual treatment and not the treatment that you see in the Hollywood movies, you will see that when a slave got too old to work, they still had their house to live in, they still had their garden, they still had their lives. But if you went to work for the northern corporations, if you got your arm cut in an accident, a corporate accident or something like that, they throw you out on the street, confiscate your stuff, throw you out of your apartment or if you or your rat infested tenement. Big difference.
Hidden history.
Alrighty, let's take Frank in North Carolina. Well, we're just about getting ready for a break here, but let's quick say hi to Frank in North Carolina, then we'll hold him over the break. Frank, welcome.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. First, I'd like to put out a disclaimer. I am not a neo-Nazi or a Nazi sympathizer or anything like that. However, I do realize that I have been the target of a humongous propaganda machine since the day I was born, and that I don't really understand true history. So I'm always open to hearing new things. I'm interested in Hitler, his ideas, I'm really curious about all the lies that I've been told about Hitler and the Nazis. I've not watched the documentary yet. I've heard about it, and I had two quick questions, and then I'll be done.
Okay.
One question.
We're going to hold you over the break. If you'll hold over the break, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors, and then we will Dennis will answer those two questions. Okay, stay with us. We'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dennis Wise. He is also known as Truth Will Out. I just love that name. I believe it. I believe the truth will win, ultimately. Dennis is the producer of the popular series entitled Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. Alrighty, and we had Frank. Two questions. Go ahead, Frank.
Yes. My first question is, I recall in the film, the German-made film Downfall, about the last days of Adolf Hitler and the bunker. He was having a final conversation with Speer. Mm-hmm. And he had written down or said something to him, I think. I was just wondering if this was accurate or if you knew about this. He said that the thing that he, you know, was most proud of and all the things that he had done was that he had openly stood up against international Jewry. That was my first question.
Well, so if I just answer that, whether he said it or not, he certainly did do that. So maybe there might be a bit of truth in there, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if he had written that down in his memoirs or something at the end or not. But anyway, the second question I had was more of a technical question, and you'll be able to answer it very easily. I was listening in on the shortwave this week to a particular radio show. The guy's got a giant ego. His name is Alex Jones. And I heard a phone call come in that pleased me very much, and it was like Alex Jones was like a deer in the headlights. And unfortunately, I didn't know. I've been telling some other people about it, and I want to go back and listen to that. And I think you had mentioned it at the beginning of the show today.
Yeah, it's actually up on the YouTube channel at the moment, Dennis Wise. It was actually a doctor who mentioned it, and he brought it to Alex Jones' attention. Alex. Although when he brought it to his attention, he said like it wasn't one of these documentaries which praised it, like, you know, it was quite balanced. But they were talking about the bankers at the time, like, and he said like that this documentary, when I watched it, I understood that Hitler got rid of these bankers, and for, you know, he did rush to his break, did Alex Jones, quite quickly. And then when he come back again, the guy was still talking about certain things like Putin. Then he went back to this documentary, and Alex admitted he hadn't seen it at any point, but then he waffled on for, I couldn't really understand what role he was going down, but at the end he actually said, I suppose the viewers must watch the documentary and make their own mind up, which is probably the last thing he wants to say.
Well, that caller was very successful, whatever you think about the video, that caller was very successful in getting the word out.
Definitely.
About that documentary, because I don't know if it's exaggerated or not, but I understand he still has a very, very large audience of the newly awakened and the diehard Alex Jones types.
It certainly has. Yeah, it certainly has. But I don't think I'll ever get an invite.
No,
gosh,
no,
I wonder why.
No, you definitely will not get an invite. In fact, he has an open arms welcome policy to any Zionist, no matter how hardcore they are. Anyone who really criticizes Israel or not so much Israel, but, you know, the things that we talk about and hear about on RBN, those people are not allowed on his show, period.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I'm surprised that the comment got through as it did, because usually I have censors waiting there to cut people off like that. He said it in such a way that he caught Alex on the back foot, and he'd obviously hadn't heard of the documentary, and he didn't know whether it were a good thing or a bad thing, so he just played the middle ground, like, which was fine, because if you ask people to go and watch it and judge it, that's exactly what I say. And a lot of people have done that and have actually been brought to tears with the documentary. Their life has been changed with the documentary. There was a young Austrian girl. I did a bit of a talk behind closed doors over here in the UK to a select audience, and this young man came up to me and introduced me to his girlfriend, who was Austrian, probably about 28, 29. She carried the burden of being an Austrian for all her life. She hated Adolf Hitler, she hated the Nazis, she hated being Austrian. All this weight and burden had built up inside her, and she was just a completely miserable person. And since she watched the documentary and certain points that she did watch in tears, is now a completely different woman, has had all the weight lifted off her shoulders. And when I saw her smile, when she shook my hand, for the first time ever, I saw the living proof of the truth will set you free.
Well, you know, it's the same thing here in America. There are many white females and white males, young and old, who are ashamed of being white. And that was done by people who call themselves Jews.
Exactly. And like there's millions of them, what you mentioned, and there's millions of these of people like this Austrian girl. So, you know, the documentary is just a powerhouse at the moment. That's all I can really say. I mean, forget that I did it. You know, I could tell in the early days when we were first starting to put up on YouTube, I could see the reaction we were getting from people who were 1 minute skeptical and the next minute converted.
What day was that call? Do you know?
I think it was 29th of August. Off the top of my head, I'm not 100%, but 29th of August rings a bell.
29th, so that would have been Friday.
Friday, okay. Yeah.
And what was the caller? What was the doctor's name?
I can't remember his name, but I remember the name Doctor because that's, you know, you can hardly call a doctor a lunatic.
Right. Well, he needs to be congratulated because he got right by Alex Jones.
He did, and I thank him for it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Frank. All righty, let's take Fred in Iowa. Fred, welcome to the program.
Hi, Diane.
Uh-huh, my name is Deanna. I'm sorry, but that's...
Sorry, dude, Deanna.
That's all right.
The power that is controls the powers that be. Our churches have been infiltrated and polluted. The closer we get to the truth, all hell is going to bust loose. Unfortunately, only the remnant will understand this. Have a good day, Deanna.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Your thoughts on what Fred said?
Yeah, I think more the truth comes out. People, well, they go through sets of emotions. First, it's sadness. But at the very end, it is anger at how, what is really the biggest cover-up in history has been pulled over people in the world.
Indeed. Oh, absolutely. People don't like to be fooled. They don't like to be made a fool of, and that has certainly happened. All righty, let's take Bill in Ohio. Bill, welcome to the program. Oh, you lost him? Okay, Bill, if you call back, we're ready to take your call. So we lost Bill. Okay. Yes, the churches have been taken over, and people have been trained in this country. We're all kind of obedience trained, and people look at authority figures, and they respect authority figures, and they believe authority figures, such as teachers or doctors or you know, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad because we need to be our own authorities. We need to use our critical thinking skills. We need to do our own research and not assume that what people are telling us is true. We actually do need to do some research and look at both sides. That is what I always endorse. I always promote that idea. Look at both sides. If two little kids are having an argument, you're not going to just go and say, okay, Johnny, what did Jimmy do to you? You're going to try and negotiate and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And too often, we just have been trained to take one side because of that authority figure. We've all been brainwashed into believing it. And, of course, it starts when we're very young. We do have Bill back. Let's introduce him, and then we'll go to a break.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Is it Diane? Or
Deanna.
Yeah, I'm just teasing you. How are you doing, Deanna?
I'm good. I think it's, if people know somebody by the name of Diane, yeah, it's just automatic that they're going to...
I like Deanna. It's just not a very common name.
Exactly.
But anyway, well, hey, great show. Please do this again. This is marvelous. I have two questions for your guest, and it's a great show, by the way. Really does need to be told, and that is, it really is an amazing video for those that haven't watched it.
Okay, Bill, we are going to our quick break.
Okay.
We will take your two questions when we come back, and we'll take other calls at 800-313-9443. Be back in 3 minutes. Deanna, our guest today is Dennis Wise. He is the producer of the very popular series entitled Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. And we had Bill on the phone, and he is from Ohio. And you have two questions, Bill. So go ahead.
I do. I forget one of them already, Diane. I will think of it in a second. But the first has to do with the plot from some of his generals, including Rommel. As I understand it, some of Hitler's orders were basically victory or death. Now, of course, Stalin was far worse in that any of their soldiers were basically shot on sight if they were seen retreating or entering back into to Russia. But I'm curious if you can address that the conflict that he had with some of his military brass at the top levels. That was the most pressing question that I had, and I'll think of the other one if you don't mind answering this one first.
Well, I'll answer it as best I can because it is an intricate question, to be honest. But he did have problems with the officers in the army when he first came to power, because there was a certain element of snobbery and aristocracy who took a dislike to a corporal or an ex-corporal taking over the country and taking orders from such a person. As the war went on, everything's fine when the war is going well. I'll give you an example. Like you didn't see no Valkyrie bomb plot when France fell. But some people, when the going gets rough, tend to, opinions are swayed. Human nature. And so he has plots against him. As far as Ronald was concerned, I haven't researched that deeply into that side of it. But my own feelings was that, there's been a lot of propaganda surrounding Rommel, because Rommel was such a great general. The thoughts of having him saying anything nice about Hitler wouldn't fit with their agenda after the war, but that's just my own feelings. But certainly, there were some officers, like at Stalingrad, where Paulus was, I felt, a weak general. Hitler suffered with that at times.
Sure.
Was there not a bombing plot an explosive that was intended for Hitler at one of those meetings? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, that's right. Well, this is what I'm saying. Like when France fell,
yeah,
people like Stauffenberg and other members of that bomb plot weren't even thinking of the problem, doing quite all right. But as soon as the war turned and Stalin was coming and whatever, Stauffenberg and the others plotted to kill Hitler. The reason being, they thought they could negotiate with the Allies,
yeah,
to stop Stalin from entering Germany. And as we all know, Stalin doesn't listen to Roosevelt or Churchill.
Yeah, and that was part of it. And I guess some of it I thought also had to do with some of the battlefield tactics. Hitler was not big on any type of a retreat at all. It was sort of a victory or death. And, of course, his generals didn't agree with some of that. The second question, and this is part of the crap that Jones perpetuates ad nauseum, is this whole anti-gun stuff. And the research points to the fact that Hitler lowered the age for Germans to own guns, to 18 years old, that he was not anti-gun, and in fact, he reversed the age, or lowered the age for Germans to own guns. Now, Jews, of course, could not. They were declared enemy combatants, as they collectively had declared war on Germany. Could you speak to that, please?
Yeah, well, I do actually have a video on... have you got a pen and paper there?
I do.
Right. Well, if you write down the lies and myths of Alex Jones and YouTube that particular video, you'll see in Hitler's own words where he talks about gun control. And you're quite right. It is a myth that he took the guns from the nation. In fact, in that particular video, the writings from Mein Kampf, he explains and actually has a go at both the left and the right wing for being weak by allowing the guns to be taken away. So, but that's the only way I can really explain it to you. If you watch that video, the lies and myths of Alex Jones, gun control, that will explain everything you need to know.
Indeed.
That's marvelous. Hey, well, thanks again for your research and hard work.
Bill, hang on just a minute.
Sure.
You talk about generals being killed, the minute you said that, the first general I thought of that was murdered by his own people was General Patton.
Yeah. Well, and Deanna, I mean, this is speculation, of course, but who might have benefited from Patton's death? It was the same old people. Basically, the 9/11, the USS Liberty crowd. Patton was to become the next president of the United States, and obviously he saw the light later on. He wanted to rearm Germany and invade Russia.
Exactly.
And he, you know, in his diaries and whatnot, he pointed to the fact that the Jews were just intolerable in their actions, and he knew what was going on. The spread of communism and the stealing of Palestine was really what it was about, and of course creating world government via the UN, calling the Germans the greatest race in Europe. He said, you know, we're going to replace them with a bunch of savages. I think I'm paraphrasing, or Mongols, something like that. I'm paraphrasing. But, I think it was after Patton was assigned a Jewish doctor in a very non-lethal type of a car accident was when he took a turn for the worse, ironically. So, surprise, surprise.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, exactly. Well, thank you so much for your phone call.
Yes, thank you, guys. Good luck to you.
Okay, bye-bye. All righty, let's take Michael in California, and we are coming up on the top of the hour break, but we'll take Michael.
Hello. Hitler was a man of the year and then became the most evil man in history.
I don't think so.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's what we're taught. Now,
mm-hmm.
History... is like his story, but no one asked the people who write the history ever to tell them the truth. If Hitler hated the Jews so much, he had a Jewish cook and a Jewish chauffeur all of his life when he was a Führer. And you were saying that Hitler is the greatest story that's never been told. Well, the Holocaust is the greatest lie that's been perpetuated on us for years, and it's still being perpetuated on us.
Mm-hmm.
And and who was the benefactors? The Zionist Jews. How come the Mossad in Israel had only captured one Nazis after the war? That was Adolf Eichmann, who was probably involved with the transfer agreement.
He was, yeah.
And that was the only reason he was captured. And is the break coming up?
Yes, we have 1 minute.
Because I'm losing my train of thought, but
Well, can I just interrupt for a second? There has to be a reason that there's more statues in this world of Satan than there is of Adolf Hitler. And the reason that is because this guy fought the New World Order for 6 years and almost defeated him. So never in his life will this guy be well spoken of while the powers that be are in power, for that simple reason.
You had an earlier caller who people still think that Hitler died in the bunker. He died in Argentina in the late 50s,
oh, baloney,
or early 60s.
Baloney, 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 baloney.
You don't think that?
No, I do not think that.
Have you seen the shark hunters who've got proof?
Proof?
I've never seen any proof from Argentina.
Claims don't amount to proof.
Well,
claims are just claims.
Even from Germans that are living over there?
No, that's... like I say, claims are just claims. Don't mean anything. They're just claims that people make. That does not provide proof.
Why would people make a claim like that, though?
Well, I don't know. Why do you think they'd make a claim like that? And we'll pick this up on the other side because we are coming up on a hard break here.
On the side.
But There are a lot of good reasons. A lot of good reasons why, when you look at the claims, you can see why they're making them.
Disinformation is rampant on the internet, especially
sure.
since the internet. Mostly stories have all appeared since the internet.
Sure. We've heard that he went to the moon and all kinds of silly things.
Yes. Indeed.
Certainly. Well, they want to blame him for the war that they started, first of all. And they want Germany to blame him for what happened to their country. And so, of course, they're going to say, yeah, he escaped and he left Germany in rubble. Alrighty, we're at our hard break. We'll be right back. We'll be back at 6 minutes after the hour and we'll take more calls. Alrighty, stay tuned.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. This is our third hour. Why time goes by rapidly. Our guest today is Dennis Wise. He is the producer of the very popular series entitled Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. And his website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. Please visit that website. And if you would like to call into the program, that telephone number is 800-313-9443. If you have a question or comment relevant to what we're talking about, or maybe, well, it should be relevant, but just about everything. After I said that, I thought, well, just about anything to talk about regarding World War II would be relevant, because our culture and everything has changed so drastically since that watershed event that, well, a lot of things fall under the, but pick it up from where we left off. Why do you think that Hitler did not go to Argentina?
You're asking me that question, yeah?
Yes.
Well, I think the fact that he actually, his health was one reason.
Yes.
I think his actual last will and testament was another reason. I think he had come to the conclusion that this was going to be his final stand. And although he didn't want to end up like Mussolini and his mistress, that how he died may be up for dispute, but certainly, as I put in the documentary, he died defending his beloved Germany in Berlin.
Right. And if you understand how he felt in November when the First World War ended, he referred to the November criminals, and he was in the hospital. He'd been hit with mustard gas. He was partially blinded by it.
Can I just interrupt you there just for a second, Anna?
Yeah, go ahead.
Of the whole, can you say, out of the whole 6.5 hours of the documentary, there's only real proof of one person in the whole documentary of ever being gassed. And ironically, that is Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. He is the one that was really gassed.
He actually
and,
was. Ironic.
Yeah. He was very sick, and I think it stemmed from that. Plus, I believe he was also poisoned. and because he did have stomach trouble.
The bomb as well affected his, you know, his health.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that was an incredible thing to survive that. I mean, it's clearly shown in the documentary the force of the bomb, and later when he's visiting people after, and you see the destruction, and how we ever survive that is beyond comprehension.
It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. I mean, other people were hurt, and it was a miracle that he was not killed.
Yeah, they must have been absolutely stunned, the plotters. Absolutely.
Yeah. He was. He was in bad health, definitely. And
it's all the stress as well. I mean, it's going to take its toll, isn't it? I mean, when you're trying to lead a country in a war, and you know, there's a lot of pressure on you.
Indeed. And just, he did have enemies, as somebody else brought up earlier. He was a commoner. He was not part of the elite military. And he retained a lot of the people in military positions who were there before, who actually just despised him. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, some of the people that were behind the bombing. And they didn't want to be led by the person that they referred to as the corporal.
Well, the thing was that, you know, he survived quite a few assassinations. And, I mean, they tried to blow him up before he got to power, even when he was giving his speeches. And one particular one where he left 20 minutes early by chance, and the room exploded. So he did have enemies, but something guided him, you know, kept him safe all through that time for a reason, I suppose. And the reason, I believe, is that he saved Europe from total communism.
Yes. And if the other European countries had followed suit with what he was doing, all of Europe would have done exactly the same thing, and the bankers would have been tossed out of Europe.
Well, yeah, this is true. I mean, as soon as the war was over, the bankers have got Europe back under the control again. And this is the thing that threw Alec Jones last night, because I don't think he's ever had a phone call, not that I'm aware of anyway, that someone's mentioned that Hitler kicked out the bankers, because that is something they don't really want to connect with what's going on today. Because once you realise that, you start to dig a little bit deeper, you know, because
sure,
his enemies are enemies, type of thing. So, yeah, it caught Alex on the up, I think, that just the fact that the bankers were mentioned. Because at one point, Alex actually said, oh, you mean the bankers? That's a code word for the Jews. When I say bankers, I don't mean the code word for the Jews. What's he talking about, you know?
Sure. Right. He did throw out the bankers. He was their worst enemy. And that is why they declared war against Germany in 1933, because Hitler came in. He came to power. And as you mentioned earlier, he threw the banker, or I guess some, you know, people in the chat room have been talking also about this. But he did so many things that were just totally against what the bankers would have done. And
well,
he was
there's some kind of story that the Rothschilds funded him. Well, if the Rothschilds funded him, the person who organized that must have been in for the chop, because immediately Hitler came to power in 1933, as you say, he sorted out, switched all the finances over to the government, he got rid of numerous people, like, and then started to move the Jews out of Germany. So if he was part of that, if Rothschilds was funded him, right, somebody's certainly got the shot for that.
Sure. <My dad. laughs> Sure. And he was against the loans that Germany was taking out, like in 1924. He was against the reparations payments. And he was fighting, too, against the stipulations of the Versailles Treaty. And so he was asking all the right questions and opposing all of the right things. He did not believe that Germany should be indebted, and he was attempting to get them out of debt and working. he put people back to work. Millions of people went back to work. And
that the bankers didn't want, so actions, I've always said actions speak louder than words. If anybody says anything about anybody, like that, their actions tell me everything. And their friends.
Absolutely. Sure. And when you look, actions do speak louder than words. And when you look at what he did and what he did for the country, people loved him. You can look at all of the films, and you show a lot of this in your film, that the people absolutely loved him. We don't see that in our country at all. I mean,
no,
people.
If we had a politician, what turned the country around? What was where people were starving and committing suicide and eating rats? It's been said. For someone to come along and turn it around within 2 years, we'd all love him, which is exactly what happened.
Exactly. Yes. All right, we are coming up on our three-minute break, and when we come back, we will take James in Kansas. So we will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors. Is Deanna. Our guest is Dennis Wise. He is the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. All righty. We have James in Kansas. James, welcome.
I think you ought to read pages 58 through 61 of your book, The Ruling Elite. And that tells me more about World War One or World War Two than anything that I've ever read any place. It makes more sense. I mean, I think it should be required reading for everybody who can read English. And they would dispel all these myths about this. You know, I'll hang up and let you elaborate on that. That makes more sense than anything I've ever heard, especially with everybody talking about the economy. Anybody that says use the word economy, they should be required to read that over and over until it's memorized.
Exactly.
I'll hang up and shut up. I'll shut up and hang up. Bye.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well done.
I rarely talk about my own stuff. But let's...
You obviously meant what he said.
Yes. Very kind. Very kind of James. Thank you so much. Yes, he did have a program, an economic program that was fabulous. He put the farmer in where the farmer should be. He made certain that they had the education that they needed in order to make the land as fertile as possible. He put the Germans first.
And he did all this under the trade embargo.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the program that the economic program was just amazing, and he did put people back to work, and no wonder they loved him. And a lot of times you'll find that people will say, oh, they were just brainwashed, those Germans just were all brainwashed and they didn't know. No, they had full stomachs, they had a job, they saw their country coming back, they were building things, they built the Autobahn, they had a full, everybody got a car. They really had what they needed to exist. And beyond that, I mean, they even had, were able to take a vacation, and everybody was, the Germans saw the country as a whole. There weren't this elite group of people in Germany who were living, like parasites off the labor of the rest of the people. But they were.
Everybody worked for each other because, it didn't need you. You know, the boss realized the worth of the worker, and the worker realized the worth of the boss. And if you gave the worker holidays and perks like a canteen and things like that, then he would get the best out of the worker, and the worker would be happy, and then the boss would be happy. And so,
absolutely.
Everything falls in place. But what the situation is in most countries, they didn't want that to spread to their own country, like say for Britain, they banned German ships from docking because they didn't want the stories what were coming out of Germany, because obviously the people in power have their own financial system, which he fought and broke. For 12 years, Europe was free from that system. And six of them was at war.
Yes. And they were able to trade with other countries. It was just remarkable. And remember that the mark was absolutely worthless, totally worthless, with the world economic crash of 1929, which was, of course, deliberate. And he, it was just amazing what he did. Works plans, flood, all kinds of things he was doing.
Well, there's a myth that Germany recovered because of the arms building for the war, when actually that was Roosevelt's get out. Because up to that point, I mean, Germany was more or less free after two, three years at the most, where the rest of the world were in the depression from the American Depression. And it weren't until the war that they got the jobs going and unemployment came down with the weapons. Certainly, Hitler did build up the arms, for sure. But then again, what country wouldn't? If it was only given a 100,000 army and no navy, well, a small navy and no air force to defend themselves, that's not enough to defend Berlin, never mind Germany. And with Stalin around the corner, and all the problems that they had in Germany after the World War I with the communists, and with the Spanish Civil War, you know, Europe was ripe for communist takeovers. So if he's only got 100,000 army, what leader with any sense would stay to that particular law of Versailles? He's going to tear it up.
Sure.
Which is what he did.
Yep, absolutely. Alrighty, we have another caller, Steve, in Texas. Steve, welcome to the program. Oh, he's... okay, let's take Nick in Hawaii. Nick?
Good afternoon. I don't mean to change the topic. I just wanted to ask Dennis what he's done in terms of different ways of advertising the film. Is he using these modern social media outlets and things like that?
Okay. I can answer that. The guys at the website are very internet savvy, but they are handicapped because, for instance, they've been banned from Facebook several times. They've been banned from YouTube several times, and they've been banned from other video sites like Vimeo. So they haven't got the same outlook or outlet as what other people have. Mm-hmm. So under them circumstances, they've done a really remarkable job to get the word out there, and I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, I just hear people talking about Twitter and things like that. I don't know anything about that. But
yeah, well, we are on Twitter. I mean, I don't know much about Twitter myself, but these guys do, and they spend, you know, a lot of time, 24/7, trying to get the message out there against obstacles, and there are obstacles out there. Obviously, yeah. people don't want this story to be known.
Yeah. Okay, I just thought I'd ask that again. It's not something I really know much about, but
no problem.
Of the younger people are sort of savvy, and they may have ideas. I don't know. But thanks again. Great film, and appreciate the program. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Yes, I think social media is good to that extent. But as you say, I mean, if you've been thrown off of a lot of them, that speaks volumes. They don't want your message out there at all. And considering that they don't want your message out, you've done very well at getting it out. And I think it's because of the quality of the movie, the quality of the message, and like you said before, this one lady who had grown up and believed all these things all of her life and saw the movie, and it is a tearjerker. It mm-hmm. really is. And the reason it is because I believe that people can feel the truth. You can just feel the truth. You're not using emotion like the Hollywood movie producers are doing. You are just telling the truth. It feels clear. There's a certain ring to it.
Yeah, people say that, you know, they can tell the truth when they see it. And that might not always be the case, but this is the case with this for sure. You can tell by the reaction of people. One of the most, I think, significant parts of the film is how over the years that Magda Goebbels was vilified, and you know, there's never been an attempt to clear her name anyway. If and people wouldn't have thought that even possible, because she has been vilified by Hollywood and the history books, and the instant reaction that she murdered her own children, how evil can one get? When you see the movie and you understand the circumstances, and the tears, that once you realise, oh God,
yes,
this woman wasn't the evil witch that she's been portrayed, and that's just one part of the movie. You know, there's other parts as well. I suppose if somebody said to me, like, you know, can you make a documentary about it? You know, I don't feel a lot good. It would have been an impossible task.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes and we'll take some more calls. And so stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dennis Wise. He is the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. His website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. May I share just a paragraph with you?
Sure.
On February 1st, 1933, in Berlin, Hitler said, "The national government will regard as its first and foremost duty to revive in the nation the spirit of unity and cooperation. It will preserve, and defend those basic principles on which our nation has been built. It regards Christianity as the foundation of our national morality and the family as the basis of national life." Regarding communism, Hitler said, "Never forget that the rulers of present-day Russia are common, blood-stained criminals, that they are the scum of humanity, which, favored by circumstances, overran a great state in a tragic hour, slaughtered and wiped out thousands of her leading intelligentsia in wild bloodlust, and now for almost 10 years have been carrying on the most cruel and tyrannical regime of all time." Unquote.
Correct.
Okay.
I think the documentary goes on to prove he was right.
Yes, absolutely, and the work that you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take Werner in New Brunswick. Werner, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Deanna, and good afternoon, Mr. Wise. You know, thumbs up for both of you, you know. And I wish more people in Germany, they would wake up and finally face the truth and lose all that great guilt complex that has been imprinted into them over the last few decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for the people in North America, you have been played, most of the people have been played like a fiddle. You know, they were playing Hollywood and the media and politicians were playing on emotions and ignored the basic facts. And we appreciate it very much that you brought the basic facts. And this is the reason, what I figure, why North America has been stumbling from one economic crisis after another over the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. The basic facts are, it's one of the most mismanaged continents and societies.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And isn't it pathetically that the politicians, the only solution for economic problems In a region that has been blessed with so many natural resources, the only way they could deal with economic problems by promoting war.
Exactly.
And anybody who hasn't realized it by now, what has been going on over the last 60, 70 years, you know, who has been driving the wars, you know, I think it's pathetically, you know, that people have been so dumbed down that they don't get it.
It's quite
indeed.
Right. I agree 100%.
And as I say, over the both wars, you know, the cheerleaders, they built the support on emotions. before they even, and they never bother, they don't bother us with the facts, you know. We are playing our fiddle with emotions, and that's what they have been doing.
Yeah, Hollywood's played a big part in that.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And as I say, you know, let's put the facts on the table, you know, the reality, and then the true emotions. Take over, but not building their a whole campaign and driving people into war on emotion, ripping them up emotionally. And there are still people who are so damn stupid to still fall for the same scheme.
Yeah, and in some cases, I mean, it's taught to them very young, so they just can't see it. You know, 70 years of propaganda is a big wall to get over. So, yeah, it's... hopefully we're getting there, you know.
Sure.
But I think, you know, anybody who want to build their future on truth, you know, you have done a great... You both have done a great job, you know, in bringing the truth out, you know.
Sure.
But it is for the rest of the people to finally get off their butt, you know, throw that friggin' boop doop out of the window, you know, and start looking at the real facts and the real archives. They are now available, you know. They're now more and more opened up.
Some people you can't convince, you know, for obvious reasons. Maybe, you know, that's just the way they are. Well, I honestly feel that there's a lot of people out there who, if they knew the full story, would dramatically change their opinion.
But as I say, too many of the so-called experts, they've built their reputation on their soapbox stand, you know, that were not based on facts. And they fight tooth and nail not to get kicked off their soapbox.
Sure.
Basically, end up in the garbage heap of history.
Indeed.
Yeah. Without a doubt, I'm 100% in what you're saying. 100%.
Well, as I say, you know... I try to take a common sense approach to it, you know.
That's what I like about Germans.
Yeah.
Oh, bless your heart, Werner. Thank you so much for your
same,
phone
same
call.
To you. But as I say, within the center of Europe, you know, Germany, for at least 1,500, 2,000 years, repeated attacks from all sides, the surrounding nations, and everybody wanted to whittle Germany down and basically cut it out of the map, you know, take it out of the picture. The same thing what the so-called phony state of Israel is doing with the Palestinian people.
Yes. Indeed. Well, thank you so much, Werner.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Alrighty, let's take Anthony in California.
Yes, hi, Deanna.
Hi.
Hi. I just want to say I appreciate listening to RBN because it's very informative. And I have a couple of questions for your guest. First question is, didn't the Brown-Harriman brothers of this country fund Germany and the Nazis?
Is that your first question, yeah?
Yes, my first question. And the second question is, why did Hitler intern the Jews into these camps?
Well, the first question, probably Jana can answer better than I can, because I know Veronica Clark, I'm pretty sure Veronica investigated that in only the way she can, as a researcher. And she found no evidence. The only evidence I came across was the fact that there was people like Henry Ford who in his own interest, didn't want communism to actually come into Germany, and so did give Hitler various British presents and financial aid. That's, probably Diana can answer that better than I can.
Well, see, that's what they did to Russia. With Tsar Nicholas, they assassinated him, and they brought Lenin into power.
Oh yeah,
they brought him in from Germany.
Yeah, I don't doubt that for 1 minute. But I do have doubts about Hitler being funded by the Zionists, as you're suggesting, simply because of the fact that the attempt on his life before he got into power and the immediate trade embargo as soon as he did get into power, and the actions that Hitler took as soon as he got into power. It's all happened in 1933. So there's got to be...
What about the Brown-Herman brothers? How do they play into this?
I'm not familiar with them.
There was a book written about that, and I'm going to grab it off the shelf during the break, which is coming up momentarily. But that book was written by a very biased person. As Dennis mentioned, Veronica Clark has done an excellent job. She did an article that explains where most of the financing came from. And it came from a lot of the commoners, just like the rest of us. And he did, you know, Brown Brothers Harriman did not give any money to the NSDAP. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's no record of that. And as I said, I'll grab the book off the shelf and I will give you some information about the book during the break, which is coming up right now. And what was that other question that you asked? About the assassination. Yeah.
The other question is, why did Hitler intern Jews?
Well, most of the Jews were communists. And as soon as Hitler took over in Germany, they become an enemy of the state. Just like in any other country, if you're an enemy of that state, you're going to get interned, no matter whoever's in power in that country.
Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dennis Wise. He is the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. And Dennis was explaining that the reason that the Jews were incarcerated, not all of them were incarcerated, only the ones that had indicated
opposition to
Germany. So it wasn't, they didn't just go out and round them all up. Okay, the second question that Anthony had was whether or not the bank, there's a book, it's called Trading with the Enemy. And it was written by Charles 19 goes along with this idea that that the Nazis have taken over this country, which is so ludicrous, I can't even believe it. The other book that I would recommend, in addition to my third book, of course, is Hitler, and I don't recommend this book, Trading with the Enemy. It was written by Higham, who is Jewish, and he tells that he is Jewish right in the front of the book. And it is a very biased book, full of a lot of, fabrications. And it was strictly written for propaganda purposes. The book that I would recommend, in addition to my own third book, is Hitler and His Secret Partners, Contributions, Loot and Rewards, 1933 to 1945. And this book was written by James Poole. Now, he and his sister wrote another book before they wrote this one, and it talks about how most of the financing came from the people. People were so grateful to have a leader that was actually thinking about the country and putting the Germans first, that they were very willing to give what they could. There were also some businesses in Germany who contributed to Hitler probably quite a bit, because the business leaders certainly did not want to suffer communism and lose everything that they had, and so they saw what he was attempting to do, and so they donated also. So, does that answer the question, Anthony? If Anthony's still on?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Deanna. Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate that. You said James Poole?
Uh-huh, James Poole. Uh-huh.
What's the title of the book?
Hitler and His Secret Partners, and then the other one is... I can't remember the other, but it was written by James Poole, and it's an older book, and his sister also co-authored it with him. But it's
so in other words, in essence, there were just businesses over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Act of communism.
Giving contributions to Hitler. What about the banking system here? I thought that... the bankers here funding Hitler.
No, that is the
that's more disinformation.
Premise that is in Trading with the Enemy. That was written, and he calls it Trading with the Enemy: The Nazi American Money Plot, 1933 to 1945, which was written by a Jew. It is a piece of propaganda, just as the rise and fall of the Third Reich was a piece of propaganda.
So, and just like Hitler was a Rothschild.
Exactly.
That's another one.
I see. Okay, then. Okay, Deanna, I'll look into this. Thank you so much. I appreciate this very much.
Thank you. Okay, we have Michael from California. Is this the same Michael that called in before?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hitler and Roosevelt came to power both in 1933. Wasn't there an article in the New York Times that it said Juden declared war on Germany?
Same time, 33, yeah.
Yeah, that came out at the same time. Is that why he rounded up the, like you said, the Jewish people that were against him?
He rounded up the enemies of the state, who they considered to be the enemy of the state, because Germany had a history of attempted takeovers by communism, and most of the communists were Jewish.
Yeah, that's true. Just like there's almost no hope for our country now, because everyone in our Congress is Israeli firster.
Sure.
And,
all right, we're going to move on.
I'm sure there were no hope in Germany at some point, but somehow history throws up these leaders.
Right. Okay, we're going to move on because we do have some other callers and we're running short of time. So thank you, Michael, for your phone call. Let's take E.T. in California.
Hi, Deanna. I'm driving and I just wanted to know what the title of that movie is.
The Greatest Story Never Told. Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. You can find it at thegreateststorynevertold.tv.
Dot what?
TV.
Dot TV.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the full documentary's on there for free.
Okay. Good. Just one, and I know a researcher who says that the Bayer Corporation was responsible for indemnifying Poland, and Hitler was actually doing the bidding of the Bayer Corporation.
No, that's not true. I don't know why people bring me... There are so many myths, and so many books have been written about Hitler. Probably more books have been written about Hitler than about any other leader. It's just amazing, some of the stuff that has come up. And there was official life stories of Hitler that were created by the OSS. And it was just ridiculous stuff that they promoted long, long before the war started. So anyway.
I think if you watch the documentary, you'll understand a lot more.
Yes. Yeah. Watch a documentary. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Okay, we have Cab in New York. Real quick, because we've got 2 minutes.
Hey, Deanna.
Hi.
Oh, yeah. I want to get your books and read them. I'm ready to hear out the whole story about Adolf Hitler. I'm really at the, come to the conclusion that our media is just, consider the source. It's all the Jews. And
Cab, you must watch this movie. If you don't have anything to do for the rest of the day, watch this movie, The Greatest Story Never Told.tv, It is the best. Literally the best.
It's right on the internet. You can just check it out.
Yes. Oh. Yes, yeah. Just watch it on the internet.
Okay, yeah. What's the name of, again, Greatest Story Never Told, right?
The Greatest Story Never Told.
Well, I'm going to do that when I, you know, when this program is over. I'm going to, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yes,
and I've learned a lot, so much from you. And also, Bill Still has wakened me up about the money masters, you know, the about controlling the money. Mm-hmm. And then Tex Mars is the one who woke me up to the fact that Judaism is a religion, not a race, and what that religion actually is. And it's occultic, it's evil, it's the Jews against God and the world is basically what it is. And that all the secret societies, the Luciferian societies, emanate from the
Kabbalah.
Babylonian Kabbalah and the Babylonian Jewish Talmud. And you can read his book. It's called Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, which I understand even Jews are, mostly Jewish people are buying this book from Amazon just to discover about their own religion, because they do pretty much whatever the rabbis tell them.
Sure.
And it is, it has nothing, it's not like what we think. Judaism isn't like what we think, that they're just like in the Bible, they're just ignorant about the New Testament, but they're basically just like, you know, just like Moses or whatever like that. It's not like that. It's a occultic evil religion invented in Babylon. It's occultic, it's Luciferian, and it's basically self-worship and a plot to take over the world and kill everybody that's not, doesn't believe like them and hate Jesus and hate God like they do.
Cab, we're out of time. Dennis, we're out of time. Thank you so thank you so much for being on the program today. I just really appreciate your work.
It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you. And the website, thegreateststorynevertold.tv. Please watch that movie. Thank you. Bye-bye.